Now, one of the UK's leading child protection experts is calling for so-called paedophile hunters to be given more official roles in the fight against child sexual exploitation. The group of vigilantes often pose as young children online to lure in predators. Then they agree to meet them in person, where they record them on video, then they call the police. And it sounds like a great idea, actually. And thankfully, some paedophiles have gone to jail as a result of it. Let me speak to Jim Gamble, who's an expert in this field. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It does sound like a wonderful job to do if you deliver a paedophile to the police. But I'm sure it's not as smooth and as easy as that.
No, it's not. And to be really clear, I mean, I don't condone vigilantism. I don't condone operating outside the law or outside regulated systems. But what I think the paedophile hunters, and there's over a dozen groups across the UK operating at the minute, responsible for over 100 paedophiles being convicted in the last number of years. What they teach us is this: you don't need to be a rocket scientist to do this work. And actually, there's this huge level of frustration amongst members of the public when they keep seeing headlines about children being engaged online, groomed online, being seduced into sharing images, and all of the trauma that comes with that. Yet they don't see what they see as a match-up between the number of predators being brought before the courts and convicted. And that's why lots of very good people take the law into their own hands by going online to try and entrap them. Unfortunately, within these paedophile hunter groups, you'll get some individuals who, you know, I wouldn't trust to walk my dog. You'll get people who have a history of violence, who are involved in coercive control or domestic abuse, and they'll be doing this because it gives them a sense of celebrity. They'll be able to build a Twitter or a Facebook following. So what I'm saying is, let's take the positive lessons from this and stop vigilantism by embracing the concept of digital volunteer part-time police officers. So you could volunteer, Frank, you know, with the PSNI, be recruited by them, be vetted by them, be trained by them, and then you'd give up one or two nights a week where you'd go into the station because we know you're of the right character, you've had the right training, and you'd work for the police, with the police, to help make our children safer.
It sounds like a really sensible approach. Are the police at the moment doing it themselves? Are they posing as people who would like to meet up with, are they posing as children who'd like to meet up with people who might be older and entrapping the paedophiles themselves?
Yes, they are. I mean, the tactic is a well-worn one. And I'm not talking about deep levels of undercover. I'm talking about simply waiting on within a modelling agency or within a modelling website or a social networking website as a 13-year-old girl. You won't have to wait long until you're approached by lots of people. The problem is police resourcing. Now, in Northern Ireland, the PSNI have put considerable effort into reconstructing how they do what they do around public protection. So we're probably slightly better off than most other areas of the UK. But that said, there are still far too many of these predators online and far too few police resources. So if we want to turn the tables and make the predators fear going online because they're not sure whether they're going to be engaging a child or a part-time digital detective supported by the police, then, you know, you could employ, well, not employ because I'd volunteer, but you could have hundreds of people across Northern Ireland from all of our different communities empowered to work within the police and with the police to make children safer. But there's a win-win-win in that scenario.
Obviously, the paedophile doesn't get as far as sexually abusing the young person because the young person doesn't actually exist. When the paedophile turns up, it is an adult who is filming them. How do the paedophiles react to that? Do they say that, oh, I had no intention of meeting a young child? How are they proven to be guilty? Is it a track record of the communication online? Is it as simple as that? Does that stand up in court?
Well, yes, it has stood up in court, and there's a variety of issues. Now, when they turn up, if they turn up at the right location, the current vigilante groups or unregulated groups will film them. Now, because there's a high level of emotion in this and there's a real stigma attached to the offence, those engaged in catching the predator can sometimes become overly aggressive. Sometimes they're borderline on masquerading as police officers. And those who are being challenged, of course, aren't being challenged by someone with the lawful authority that the police have. So there's a recipe for disaster there. And that's why vigilantism of itself is very dangerous. Vigilantes go online into an environment where police are already operating. There needs to be significant coordination. But as I say, the police bring a different set of experiences and authority to this. So a vigilante won't know when they're engaging me what my IP address, my internet protocol address, which will show what account I have and where I live. Police can get that through their lawful authority. That will then tell them whether or not I have a job that gives me intimate access to children, whether or not I have children in the house, so they can prioritize that. And if I'm going to travel from Derry to Belfast to meet a child, police have the ability to surveil me, whereas vigilantes don't. So vigilantism, extremely dangerous and not to be condoned. But I think that George Hamilton and his top team really need to consider leading the rest of the UK by adopting the principle of digital detectives, part-time volunteer officers, so that we can really lead the world as we deter predators from engaging our children in Northern Ireland.
Have there been examples of these paedophile hunters actually targeting the wrong person?
Well, there's certainly been examples where they've challenged people who have not been convicted. There have been examples where individuals have been challenged who have gone on to commit suicide. And whilst, you know, some people will say, you know, with that knee-jerk reaction, well, good, you know, people are innocent until proven guilty. We've got to be better than the people we seek to hold to account. And that's why it's important for all of this to operate within the criminal justice system. There's a, across the UK today, at the time I'm speaking to you now, 9:15 in the morning, there will be less than a virtual handful of detectives online now masquerading as 13-year-olds waiting for these predators. There'll be less than a virtual handful. So, you know, we know that policing numbers across the rest of the UK have been reduced by 22,000 since 2011. There are too few with too many roles and responsibilities. And you know, in the terms of Northern Ireland, we've got police officers, whilst who might not have had the same cuts, they're facing in so many different directions, trying to do so many different things to keep the peace within our very divided society. Here is an opportunity to allow people to come together from all walks and parts of life to collaborate with policing within policing. And actually, the real mutual benefit is we're working together to make our children safer. It's low cost and it's high impact. And why wouldn't we do it?
You do mention there's only a handful of police officers at any one time online posing as children, trying to lure these guilty people out into the open. How many predators are we talking about online during the course of the day? And when they are caught, they turn out to be very often middle-aged, for want of a better... No, I'm not going to use the term respectable. I was going to say middle-aged, respectable men. They tend to be middle-aged people who would be deemed to be respectable in society, who are prepared to, as you say, for example, travel from Derry to Belfast to meet a 12 or 13-year-old girl. It's essential that they are flushed out. But how many, have you any idea how many, primarily men, are prepared to number one, have this interest, number two, be prepared to put up with it or to take the risk of the stigma that's attached to it if they are caught, and number three, face a custodial sentence for it, and number four, abuse a child. Have we any idea of numbers?
Well, if you start off with the baseline numbers, so those people we know who are online, who demonstrate, who provide us with evidence that they have a deviant sexual interest in children, that number is estimated at the minute, the number of IP addresses, individual computers downloading indecent images of children within the UK, is estimated at the minute by Simon Bailey, the National Police Chief Constables Council's lead for this area, to be about 100,000 at any given moment in time. Now, during my time in CEOP, that was between 60 and 80,000. So the numbers are going up, and they're going up because deterrent isn't. Now, those people, in my experience, who view these images view because they have a sexual interest in children. And therefore, you can expect them to represent a risk. And many of those same individuals will be on a spiral of abuse, whereby they're going from, you know, still images to moving images, to talking to children, to meeting with children, and actually physically abusing them. So we shouldn't play the lottery with children. There shouldn't be an acceptable level of abuse where we say, well, these are all the resources we have, so we have to do the best we can with them. We've got to grasp the opportunity to absolutely change the environment from one where predators think, well, I've got to be very unlucky to be caught, to one where they think there's a real likelihood of being caught. And the example I would give you of that is if you drive, you know, along the road today and you see a speed camera sign, not a speed camera itself, just a sign, you put your foot in the brake and slow down. Why? Because you realize there's a real chance that you might be caught and there'll be a consequence. We need to get to that same level of deterrent where there's a real chance that you're going to be caught and the consequences become more real for you. That's where we will, in essence, you know, come to the point where we can begin to drive these numbers down instead of allowing them to flourish unchecked.
And finally, Jim, just explain that 100,000 figure to me again.
So the Chief Constable of Norfolk, who has the child protection lead in this for the police service, the lead that I used to have myself, they have access to equipment called the Child Protection System, where they can monitor images we've already seen before, known images, child abuse images, being downloaded to different computers within the UK, the IP address of different computers. His current estimate is that there could be up to 100,000 downloading at any given time across the UK.
That is shocking, isn't it?
It is shocking.
At any minute, at 18 minutes past 9, at 2 minutes to midday, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, at any
these
one time,
prolific,
another 100,000 people are there doing the like of this.
These people are absolutely prolific. This is a sexually motivated crime, so very difficult, very complex to deal with. And as you quite rightly said at the beginning, it doesn't matter what position in society you hold, whatever uniform or robe of office, you know, that you have. If you are out there today as a teacher, if you're out there as a police officer, if you're working in a care home, if you're working in a supermarket, and you think that your colleague could never possibly do this because they're too important or too good, then you're a danger to yourself and a danger to children. These people hide in plain sight. We have an opportunity to unmask them if we employ the undercover tactics in the environment that we know they most frequently engage children and young people. So the time for talk has got to be over. I've been suggesting this for 4 years, and if the suggestion was coming from anyone but me, this government would have accepted it. The reason they don't accept it is because I resigned in protest of what Theresa May did to the Child Exploitation Online Protection Centre by assimilating it within the National Crime Agency, which meant that its parts were dispersed, where it no longer had that clear focus. And at the time when I resigned, I said, look, Theresa May does not do detail. I don't think she can see the humanity in this. And you know what, Frank? More and more people say to me on more and more occasions, you know what, I think you've been proven right. She doesn't do detail. She never did. Children cannot be allowed to suffer because of the arrogance and intransigence of government. It's time that the police service grasp the opportunity that is held within the Digital Detectives Programme, and really, let's begin making a difference.
Yeah, I'm sure if the Prime Minister was here, she would say that she's doing all in her power to protect children the length and breadth of the United Kingdom, but you don't see the policy. Her policy is working.
Frank, you know, policy has to be evidence-based, and rhetoric. The government is good on rhetoric, and the rhetoric of Every Child Matters. Show me where they've invested in safeguarding children and young people. Show me where they've made a difference, because I'll show you the shortfall in investment in social care, adult social care and children's social care. I am the chair of an independent chair of Safeguarding Children boards in a number of locations across the UK. There is a real problem. There's a disconnect between the reality of the problem that we see and the rhetoric of government. So they've hidden so much under the blanket of austerity, reducing the police service across the UK by 22,000. Do you not think that's going to have an impact on what they can do and when they can do it? And when they're facing a terrorist campaign as they are, you know, in England at the moment, when resources are prioritised, do you think they're prioritised for children first? Of course they're not. So at the end of the day, we have a government that's quick to deliver the meaningless rhetoric to get them past the headline, but not to invest in the resources we need to make our children safer. Here's an initiative that's low cost and high impact, so why wouldn't we do it?
Interesting analysis. Jim, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Expert in child online protection, Jim Gamble. Your opinions are very welcome. 90333105. Would you volunteer to work in the local PSNI station to help lure the paedophile towards you to expose him or her, as the case may be, and then for the police to pounce? Would it give you great job satisfaction to be able to bring to book, to bring into custody people who are prepared to prey on our kids? You can let us know what you think.